This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. This is the show that is weekly, usually at 10, a little bit later after Hawks basketball. We talk soccer in Atlanta. We talk soccer in the state of Georgia. We talk soccer all over the Southeast, all over the country, all over the hemisphere, all over the world. We're going to hit all of that tonight on AST. We're almost into soccer pirate radio territory. When we get past 11 o'clock, things can get a little bit weird, like having special guests tonight, like Madison Cruz, who you've heard on Atlanta United pregame and postgame coverage. What's up, Maddie? How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all? I'm excited to be on. I think this is the first time I'm on AST.
This is your first Atlanta Soccer Tonight show, and it's a little bit of a weird one as we're kind of chopped up as we get into a normal flow with Hawks post-game just wrapping up. We've got a lot to talk about. It's been a busy day for us covering soccer all over the state of Georgia, but we also have Atlanta United to kind of decipher and sort through and figure out how we feel about the loss in Charlotte over the weekend and how they bounce back as they get ready to host the New York Red Bulls on Saturday. Let's flash back to the trip up I-85 to Charlotte, a match where Atlanta United had a lot of good things going on in the match, but also some frustrating things that come out of it as well. You have a good first half followed by a subpar second half. We saw that in week one at home. You weren't able to find the goals that you needed to get a result in this one. But when you've had time to kind of sit back and let this one marinate a little bit, Maddie, and you think about how the team played and what maybe we've learned about them so far through 180 minutes, what stands out to you about Atlanta United in 2025?
I mean, it's kind of like the tale of two different stories, because I more equate it to first half, second half as well. Like, we get glimpses of what this team can do and we're so excited. And, you know, we see the connections. We see Latte Lat making connections with Miguel Amiron. We also see Alexi Maranchuk get going. We see those connections. And then, you know, we get to the second half and then we see it kind of just fall off a little bit. But I don't think that's necessarily due to just reverting back to the old Atlanta United. It's the same as it was before or anything like this. It's just consistency. It's very much these players are still learning each other. They're learning everything. They're learning what makes each other tick. They're learning, okay, if he's going to go right, then I need to go left. Like it's, they're learning these little things about each other. And it might take a little bit of time, but I think we're slowly starting to see the puzzle piece come together. We're starting to see everything fit together. It's just finally getting consistency on the field for 90 minutes. Because we need, that's something that I think we need to start seeing here soon, is that consistency throughout the entire game and not just the first half, and then glimpses of it in the second. We need it all the way around. But I didn't take Charlotte as a, this is a warning, red alarms everywhere, like the siren sounding and everything. I think this is a team still learning each other. This is a team that is slowly putting it together. And you just, you got to find it fast, you know, because MLS is a hard league and you're dealing with so many teams that have so much firepower. You know, it takes time, but, you know, you got to get there.
Yeah, this is an interesting match on the weekend, just because I kind of went into it feeling like it's an opportunity for both teams to make a statement coming out of it. Charlotte finished ahead of Atlanta in the standings last year. Atlanta had a better offseason than Charlotte did. So kind of where did they fall? Although Charlotte didn't have a bad offseason, they did add Wilfred Zaha, who, you know, is a pretty good consolation prize when they were chasing Miguel Almiron and they didn't get Miggy. He comes to Atlanta, you get Zaha instead. Really nice addition. Atlanta had more additions with Latte Lott alongside Almiron. So it was kind of like, all right, last year it was one thing. Now maybe they're even, or Atlanta's ahead, or where do we see Charlotte after this? I think this is a very good Charlotte team. I think when we talk about the match and how we feel about Atlanta coming out of it, I think you have to consider how good of a team Charlotte is and what kind of challenges that they present.
I think we've already known how good Charlotte is defensively, and we've seen it all throughout since they joined the league. They have been really, really solid defensively. So I think when you add Zaha up top, also Adjiman as well, I don't even want to exclude him out of this race as well, because I've always been a huge fan of Adjiman as well. I think he's phenomenal. I think the way that he plays is amazing. I love watching him play. Adding Zaha as well, that gives them a lot more power on the offense. And we saw that with Zaha. I mean, he contributed to the first goal, and then he obviously scored the second one. I mean, this is a good Charlotte team. I don't think that walking away from this, like, Charlotte's a contender. They have good moments. They're definitely someone to watch out for. And that's something too, where it was a matchup where it was one that could test Atlanta, where you could see what would happen and how they could react to certain things and how they could bounce back. And, you know, it's unfortunate. The first goal happens and then, you know, you got to bounce back from that. But then literally in the 54th minute, only a couple minutes afterwards, you get the second. And it's so difficult to bounce back from one goal, but now you got to bounce back from two. And that's already proven to be so difficult. And it's just getting that communication, that compactness. I'm totally quoting Brad Guzan after the game when he said that, but it's true. You got to find it. You got to find that communication, and you have to start finding it soon, especially in the second half.
Yeah, it's a situation where, you know, I look at this game and I kind of go the other way with it. And I talked about this with Dukes and Bell this afternoon. You know, we can talk the defensive side of it. I know there's a lot of focus on Atlanta defensively in 2025, and it's a valid question. I said it a lot in preseason. I think this team will be defined by how they defend in the big moments. But I also think when you look at how good they've been in these first halves, you only have one goal to show for it. And that's not enough for what you've produced, for the quality of the play in the first 45 minutes in game one and in game two, to only have the one goal. It's not enough. And that was from a set piece, by the way. You know, this team's creating a ton from open play, but they're not converting a ton from open play. And the game against Charlotte, it's getting harder and harder to lean on the old ways of defining who's controlling a game. You can control a game a lot of different ways. Possession isn't always that. Pressing isn't always that. defending deep isn't always control. Being dangerous on the counter is not always control. I think in this game, it was one of those games where flat out it's the goals. The goals gave Charlotte control because Atlanta was the better team in the first 45, especially at the end, but they didn't convert anything. Charlotte gets the first goal and they're able to gain control of the way the game would be played. We don't really know how it would have gone from there. The second goal is 5 minutes later. It's a misplayed ball by Matt Edwards. He misjudges it, gets caught. Brad Gazan makes a save. Atlanta doesn't recover well enough to clean up the rebound, and it's goal number two. And look, Charlotte's only lost one time at home ever when they've scored two goals. It's very difficult to come back in that moment. I really look at the other side of it. I'm very pleased with the way that Atlanta is playing in their first halves of matches. But you've got to convert when you're playing well. If you don't, the door's open for a fluky bounce. The door's open for a rebound. The door is open for the opponent to take advantage of a little piece of momentum and break the game and gain control.
Yeah, you look at the first half. I mean, I have the stat from the first half. Atlanta had 9 shots and 2 of those were on target and held Charlotte to no shots on goal at all. You got to capitalize on those moments. I completely agree with you. I think you have this firepower. You brought in all of this. We're seeing it. We're seeing the glimpses. We're seeing the passes. We're seeing the crosses. We're seeing everything, but we're not seeing it hit the back of the net. And that's what we have to start seeing. We got to start seeing these goals finally happening. Because, and I agree, I think with Charlotte, like it really was based off goals. I mean, it was a pretty even matchup. I mean, even when you look at it now, like it was very balanced. It wasn't like, oh, like Charlotte had all the momentum 1 minute, Atlanta had all the momentum the other minute. Because once you had the substitutions for Atlanta, when you brought in Shonday, when you brought in Mosquera, I thought Atlanta got their groove back a little bit. Unfortunately,
yeah, they regained some control at that point. You're right.
Yeah, unfortunately, like you just couldn't make anything of it. You still just couldn't get to the box. You couldn't find a goal. But you got to start capitalizing here. And I think the defense, yeah, it's a big question mark still. But I think you have injuries. There's always going to be some question marks when you got injuries as to who's going to come in, who's going to fix it, who's going to do this. And you know, you're relying on a young Matt Edwards, who has been very, very well in the first two games. You know, unfortunately, he just makes a mistake, and that's what young players are going to do. They're going to make mistakes.
Yeah, he makes one mistake. I thought he had a really good 45 against Wilfried Zaha to the point that Zaha was frustrated and shoved him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a situation where I think you're defensively better if you go and score goals on the other end, and it makes it more comfortable to defend. The team hasn't had a 2-goal lead all season long. And with the attacking firepower that they have, 2-goal leads should be something that is somewhat expected at times. It's never easy. We can sit here and say that it's easy. It's not, but it feels like something that this team is capable of, and they just haven't quite hit it yet. When we come back on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, quick break, we're going to come back and talk about what we saw at training today, some things, especially talking about injuries and maybe coming back from injuries, that might give you a little bit of good news as you get ready for Atlanta United hosting the New York Red Bulls on the weekend. This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Thank you for listening live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, joined tonight by Madison Cruz, who you will hear on the pregame on Saturday. Atlanta United hosting the New York Red Bulls Saturday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Maddie and Abe Gordon will get you started at 6:30. Mike Conti and I will have Garth Lagerwey with us in the booth just before 7 o'clock, and kickoff will be 7:40 from the Benz. And, Maddie, this game becomes a little bigger. I mean, I'm really reluctant to talk about must win and got to bounce back and all these kinds of things when we're talking about game three of the season.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, the Red Bulls were in MLS Cup last year. They did not get it done against the LA Galaxy. The LA Galaxy, by the way, struggling to start 2025 with injuries and a lot of things they're dealing with. But the Red Bulls ran that gauntlet, and we talked about it a lot late in the year when they got Emil Forsberg into the team. Initially, they were very good. Then he was hurt for most of the season. Then when he came back, they were very good again. They were the second best team in the Eastern Conference in points per game when Forsberg was in the group. Well, he's in the group, and he's got some extra help this season. This is a very good Red Bulls team that lost the opener to Cincinnati, beat Nashville. I don't know where they're going to be just yet, but yeah, this is a measuring stick. This team won the Eastern Conference in the postseason last year. It's a good opportunity for Atlanta to make a statement that they can bounce back from a loss on the road.
Which, if you got to go and watch Forsberg's goal, if you have not watched it, it is a beauty. I watched it. I had to like rewatch the highlights because, you know, prepping for this weekend, and I watched it, and I think I audibly gasped when I when I saw it. It was beautiful. But I mean, that's what he does, and that's the danger he brings to the New York Red Bulls. And you mentioned it. Yeah, he's got some help now, and that's going to be really dangerous. And I would agree with you as well. You know, we don't want to say must win, because I feel like we've had a lot of must win games in the past, you know, couple of months, and I want to refrain from talking about must wins for a little bit.
Yeah, some of those were real must win games, because your season's over if you don't win.
Exactly.
Game three is not must win.
No, it's not a must win, but I think it's a game where you have a lot to prove. And it's a game where it's not a must win. It's not a make or break, but it's a game where you need to prove yourself. You need to come in and just be ready to show what you can do and bring it. And because you have to, you know, this is a game that's against arguably, I would say, a rival in the sense. I mean,
definitely a rival.
Absolutely.
We can have this conversation about rivals in Atlanta United like all day. The Red Bulls were maybe outside of Orlando, like the first rivalry. I feel like it's fallen off with Charlotte and Nashville in the league now, and what has happened with Miami and what's happened with Toronto. There's rivalries, plural, for Atlanta United. Mm-hmm. But Red Bulls is one that, I don't know, it always feels like there's a little bit of extra juice to it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always a little bit, like, you always know you're going to get a good game when it's Atlanta United versus New York Red Bulls. You always just feel it. No matter which way it goes, whether it's Red Bulls win or Atlanta wins or it's a tie and it's a draw, it's always a fun game. And both teams bring it. And, you know, both of these teams have so much force, so much attack, and it's going to be a fun one on Saturday, but it's going to be a matter of who can come out. I think New York doesn't necessarily have a ton to prove. They're just going to keep going. They're riding on the momentum right now. I mean, they got Forsberg. They got so many players that can come in and just make an impact, especially winning 2-0 against Nashville. Coming into Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they're going to want to come in and try to upset Atlanta's party. And Atlanta wants to come in and rebound after a 2-0 loss to Charlotte on the road. They want to come back to their home fans, and they want to make a statement. I think it's a statement game. I'm not going to say it's a must win. It's a statement. You want to come out and make a statement, make your mark, put the stamp on it, and just show what you can do.
It's an opportunity game. I don't feel like you're not in trouble if you don't get 3 points in this one. It's a big opportunity. This is a very good team in the Red Bulls. Forsberg has some help now with Choupo-Moting coming in, previously a Bayern, previously a PSG, some other very good players on this back line. We've seen them playing in a 3-4-2-1 under Sandro Schwartz this year. That can be an interesting shape and can cause some problems. I think we saw Montreal cause some problems out of that shape. But Atlanta might be getting some reinforcements as well for the weekend. Ronnie Dyla will speak to the media on Thursday. And I would assume, based on what we saw today, Maddie, he's going to be asked about the availability of Pedro Amador and Brooks Lennon, who were both full participants in training that we saw today. Lennon, the question had been coming back from the shoulder. We've seen him in fitness-related things, non-contact-related things. We hadn't seen him in a scrimmage situation. We did today. He looked very good. I think fitness-wise, not worried about him. He did not look like he was holding back in any way. And Pedro Amador finished the entire session today. We haven't seen that in a while. So the fullback situation that I think is been a talking point because you've had a lot of injuries there with Ronald Hernandez still out right now with a quad injury. If you get your two starters back, I feel like this team doesn't just look differently the way they defend. I think those two help you look better in the way that you attack as well.
Yeah. I mean, I look back to just Pedro Amador. I mean, having him back on that left side, I think that's going to be huge, especially with the way that you're playing. You have Saba on that left side as well. I think that partnership has flourished, and we saw it especially towards the end of the season. I think are going to continue to see it flourish, especially when they get back on the same page. That's going to be huge. And then I think even Brooks Lennon as well. I think you get him on that right side as well. I mean, watching him today in practice, if you would have told me that he would have hurt his shoulder a couple months ago, I wouldn't have believed you. He was out there. He was grabbing. He was pulling. He was getting into it. If you want to go check out a fun photo on soccer down here, I got a fun photo of him and Mosquera going at it a little bit. And it was like that the entire session. And that's great to see. That's great to see him getting back into his fitness, getting back into everything. Because getting those two players back is going to be huge. And I agree with you. I think defensively they bring something so strong. I mean, I can think back to some of Amador's blocks throughout the entire postseason for Atlanta United. I mean, whew, some of those blocks against Inter Miami, I was like, ooh, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Pedro brings a really good versatile in where he can do both, and he can get in the attack, and he also can come back and really be solid in the back line. And then you get Brooks back, and personally, I just really want to see the connection between Brooks and Miguel. I think that yes. was a really interesting one. And that's the one I'm itching to see, is seeing both of them on the pitch and them getting to bounce off each other. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. I mean, let's take it to the chessboard. When you talk about Lennon on the right side, for whatever reason, Brooks Lennon has become one of the more overlooked players in Atlanta and in Major League Soccer for that matter. This is a guy who has pretty consistently created chances from the right side over his time in Atlanta since 2020. And you look at it now as we talk about positioning. Miguel Almiron is your right winger who loves to come inside and find the game between the lines. I think everybody, Bartosz Szlich talked about this with us today after training. I think everybody's kind of figuring him out. And he's figuring everybody out as well. So that's a work in progress. But he comes inside. That means the right side, there's tons of space. Brooks Lennon loves to take that space. And he's got the engine to run up and down the wing all day long. Same thing on the opposite side. Saba has played wider, but he's going to cut in on his right foot. Pedro Amador can take that space, put in dangerous crosses. So I think the team gets better defensively, because you're going to be able to keep the ball in the attacking half for longer periods of time now. You're going to have width. When you have Luis Abram and Matt Edwards as your fullbacks like you did in Charlotte, or you have Matt Edwards on the right and Ronald Hernandez like you did in the opener, Ronald gets forward very well from the left, but he's not a natural left-footed player, so he's going to invert a little bit. He's going to come inside and it gets more crowded. You know, Matt Edwards, I think, has been so focused on the defensive side of the game as a young player, and he's put in a lot of work that he hasn't gotten forward as much as you would love to see. Brooks Lennon, that's what he lives for, is to get forward. So you're going to have two players who are going to be on their natural foot, who are going to stretch the field very wide, and then you're going to have those wingers cut inside. So it won't be as easy for defenses to collapse there. Atlanta will be able to cycle the ball more because they'll be spread out more. They'll have more opportunities, more passing lanes. So I think you get better defensively, back to that field position conversation, because you're able to pin teams into their own half much more effectively when you have width. Amador and Lennon will give you width. We'll see if they can give that to you for 90 minutes this week. I don't know, but just getting them back into the mix is so big for this team on both sides of the ball.
You want to watch if we end up getting the chance to see them for however long they're in, and if we even get to see them there at the bends, suited up, ready to go. Watch the difference when they come in and you see how much room there is and how much more spread out it is, and how, honestly, how many more opportunities and chances you see this offense get with United. I think I agree with you. I completely agree with you. Because when you put it like that, I think in my mind, when visualizing it, you don't really see it that way. But then you actually see it laid out in front of you. And that's when the wheels start going. And you're like, oh, exactly. Like, this is the plan. Because once you get these two players back, it's going to create so much more space. And we're going to see a lot more players. And I think you might actually see Saba and Miguel really, really start to shine through. Like, maybe we haven't really seen in these first two games. It almost felt, I don't want to say silenced, but almost said they've kind of felt like they just haven't been able to get going, haven't been able to get that spark, and have kind of fell flat at moments. But they're still putting in the work. I mean, they're putting in everything. They're hard working out there every time they're on the pitch. But I think it's really going to start to see them more wide open, and we're going to see them really, really, really blossom, I think, when we get Amador and Lennon back.
Yeah, I think you're going to see opposing teams struggle to defend them as easily. Because if you do, if you collapse like they have been at times and take away the space, then Lennon and Amador are going to ping in crosses all day to Latte Lot, who can jump out of the building, you know? And then if they stretch out to defend the crosses, then Almiron and Saba are going to have space in between the lines in those interior channels. So you're going to have to pick your poison a little bit the way you defend this team. And I get the sense in what we've seen this team work on in preseason and the way that I think we interpret the way Ronnie Dyla wants them to play. He's not going to have them sit back. He's not going to be the kind of guy who wants one of his fullbacks to stay home all the time. He's going to want them both to go. It's going to be down to Sleash and Click or Fortune or Muyamba to help support the center backs in those scenarios. If you get eight players forward and you have two guys back, well, the other team's going to have to make a choice. Do they get eight, nine guys back to defend? Or if they don't, do they think they can defend with lower numbers than you have in the attack? Probably not. So it gets really, really interesting in that chess match scenario of how this plays out. We could go on and on all day. We have another day of training on Thursday. Ronnie Dyla will speak to the media. You'll hear clips from that on our social medias on 92.9 The Game, on Soccer Down Here, on our personal ones, Madison Crew 7, Longshoe. We could keep going, but we do have to take a break. We'll come back on the other side of the top of the hour. More Atlanta Soccer tonight, continuing on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, putting a bow on the show as we're into the Soccer Pirate Radio portion of the evening after 11 o'clock. We're usually 10 o'clock every Tuesday night, but Hawks basketball pushed us back just a little bit tonight. I'm Jason Longshore, joined tonight by Madison Cruz, who you know well from Atlanta United coverage here on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's time for the 3-4-3, which is brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Y'all know how this goes. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make us smile about the game that we love so much. Let's start with number one on the local side. Maddie, you had the chance. We're working on a preview of the Atlanta United 2 season. They kick off on Friday. What did you learn today as you got to speak to some folks about the team this season?
I think there's just a lot of excitement and anticipation building with this season for the Twos. You know, last season they finished 13th in the East. You know, not exactly where you want to be. And I think talking to head coach Steve Cook, talking to Cooper Sanchez, to Ronan Wynn, to Ryan Carmichael as well, there's a lot of anticipation and it's a lot of great new players coming in, a lot of old players as well coming in, and they're really forming a really solid connection. And Steve Cook's hoping to see that really flourish and blossom, especially as they come into Friday, as they go up against a really tough New York Red Bulls 2 side.
Yeah, you'll be able to hear that match on the SDH network, soccerdownhere.mixler.com, or at soccerdownhere.net. We'll be on the call for that one. Two of us will bring that to you. And you can also come out to Fifth Third Stadium in Kennesaw for the match on Friday night. Always a great time to see the Twos up close. And Cooper Sanchez has to stop growing, okay? He got bigger in the offseason, and it's kind of freaking me out. All right, number two on the local side, girls high school scores from around the state. Just a sampling of the scores tonight. Blackley County won 2-0 at home over Fitzgerald. Southeast Whitfield, 4-0 win on the road at Cass. Lanier, 7-0 win at home over Duluth. North Oconee, they go to 6-1 overall, 5-0 win at home over Clark Central. North Gwinnett, a big 5-0 home win over Mill Creek. Meadow Creek, 3-1 at home over Appalachie. McIntosh, they went on the road and won 2-0 at East Coweta. Alexander, 4-0 win at home over Bremen. Grovetown, a 1-0 win at home over Archer. Fayette County with a wild 4-3 win over Strong Rock Christian. And Harrison, they won in the Battle of Cobb County, 1-0 on the road at Walton. Number three on the local side, boys scores from around the state. Cedartown, they stay unbeaten with a 5-0 home win over Woodland Cartersville. Archer, also unbeaten, a 1-0 win on the road at Grovetown. Brookwood, 4-0 win at home over Central Gwinnett. We were up in Dalton today, and the Dalton Catamounts, they stay unbeaten with a 4-0 win over Vestavia Hills from Alabama. Lassiter, 5-1 win at home over Woodstock. Collins Hill, 2-1 win at home over Midtown. Marietta, 2-0 win at home over South Cobb. Evans won 2-1 over Greenbrier, the first time that they've beat Greenbrier in over a decade. Northview drew with Cherokee but won the post-match penalty shootout afterwards. Riverwood did the same thing against Milton, draw and then win in penalties. Clark Central, they went on the road to North Oconee and won 3-0. And in the other match in that Battle of Cobb County, Harrison, they did the double at Walton today. 3-1 win in the boys match. All right, headlines from around the world, the four in the 3-4-3. UEFA Champions League results today. Dortmund was the team that was most expected to get a win, according to the supercomputers before the games. They drew at home 1-1 with Lille. PSV, it was not good. A 7-1 loss at home to Arsenal. Club Brugge, not good either. At home, they lost 3-1 to Aston Villa, and you might want to keep an eye on the villains in this competition. And Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid, the Madrid derby, and it went the way of Real Madrid at home, 2-1. So the second leg is going to be all kinds of fireworks next week. Atleti came back after conceding very early, but Real Madrid ends up finding the winner. They win 2-1. Your games tomorrow in Europe, Feyenoord, they host Inter. Feyenoord is going to get the weekend off in league play. They have a ton of injuries. We'll see if they can make it good in getting something at home against Inter tomorrow. PSG and Liverpool, two heavyweights. Liverpool fans are dreaming of very big things this year, but PSG, somehow they're better with Mbappe gone. They're better collectively. They've won their last 10 matches in all competitions. Bayern and Leverkusen, the German battle here. Joshua Kimmich has been the kind of main talking point in the German media right now. We talk about tabloids in England and Spain and Italy. The German tabloids are maybe worse in some ways, especially when it comes to Bayern. You've got former players coming out and saying that Joshua Kimmich has to make a decision. He has to sign a new contract with Bayern or he needs to walk. It's called negotiations, people. They're talking, and I think the player and the club are fine. Everybody else is yelling about it. We'll see if it's a distraction tomorrow as Bayern hosts Leverkusen. And Benfica hosting Barcelona. Keep an eye on Gavi. Have not seen an update yet. He's been out lately with an illness. He might not be back in time for this one. Number two on the headlines is the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Always entertaining, CONCACAF Champions, and it's gotten off to a good start. Right now, 30th minute, LAFC leading Columbus 1-0. They've lost the last three times to Wilfried Nancy and Columbus, two of those in finals. The game that just finished a little bit ago, Pumas, they beat Alajuelense 2-0 in Mexico. And the first game that started us off, Cincinnati and Tigres. Tigres, third place in Mexico. They still fired their manager over the weekend. One of their center backs retired after playing on Saturday. Now he's the manager. They drew 1-1 in Cincinnati. All the chaos in the CONCA Champions. More tomorrow. You get a Mexican Super Clasico with Chivas and Club America. Only the third time they've ever met in CONCACAF. Chivas, another club with a brand new manager. Herediano, they are hosting LA Galaxy, who are really not good at the moment. They have struggled to start MLS. Herediano, they got through RSL in the last round. Seattle hosting Cruz Azul, and early reports are that Cruz Azul left a lot of players at home, including Yorgos Yakimakis, who has two goals so far in the Clausura in Liga MX. Seattle, they lost over the weekend to RSL. And the game that I'm looking forward to in CONCACAF the most, Vancouver hosting Monterrey. The attack lately for Rayados has been super explosive. 3+ goals in three of their last four games. The other one was a 1-0 loss on the road. Vancouver, they've been pretty explosive too. They've won their last three games in all competitions, scoring at least twice in each of them. That could be a really good matchup. And you add Sergio Ramos into the mix and anything can happen. Thursday in CONCACAF, Miami hosting Cavalier FC. And keep this in mind when it comes to Cavalier. The matches in the Jamaican Premier League were postponed over the weekend due to unpaid wages to the referees. The Jamaica Observer newspaper has learned that close to 50 referees have not been paid since the start of 2025. And they said, we ain't working this weekend. So no game for Cavalier FC over the weekend. Miami had to go to Houston. They demolished the Dynamo. They come back. We'll see how all of that plays out on Thursday. Miami, if you're an Atlanta United fan, you would love to see Cavalier keep it close because the second leg is in Jamaica in front of a huge crowd, and Miami will play the Thursday before they come here on the 16th. See how that could look. All right, third headline in the 3-4-3, Denver, NWSL, possible names. Maddie, I need you to pick one because this is going to go to the fans to vote. The options: Denver Peak FC, Denver Gold FC, Colorado 14ers FC, Denver Elevate FC, Colorado Summit FC, and just Denver FC.
Oh, wow. Oh, God. Oh, I got to pick it quickly.
Yep.
I don't know why Denver Elevate's really speaking to me.
Okay. I'm not a huge fan of weird verbs as like names. I like Colorado Summit FC, actually.
That one's cool, my second one. That one was another one that I really liked because I think it's different. I like it.
I'm voting for that. We'll see which one ends up becoming the one. The fans are going to vote on this via a poll. Number four on the headlines, the Italian top flight, Serie A, they want to play games in the United States now that it is legal to do so. FIFA regulations prevented it in the past. Serie A says they're going to play a game in the U.S. in league play sometime in the next 1 to 2 years. La Liga has been trying to do this for a while. How do you feel about the possibility of foreign leagues playing not friendlies in the U.S., but games that actually count, taking them out of their stadiums in their home country and bringing them here?
I'm for it. I think it's awesome because I think you're expanding everyone else's like worldview of, you know, international soccer. I feel like, you know, sometimes like it, like I feel like especially in soccer, you know, it's like, oh, there's only MLS. And it's like, no, there's Premier League, there's Serie A, there's Liga MX. Like there's so many different places where you can enjoy soccer all over the world. And, you know, I'm not just saying this because I do like watching Syria. I really do. I also do like watching AC Milan as well. So this would be a dream of mine to have that happen. And I get to go watch AC Milan play. That'd be amazing. I think it'd be fun. But I think it would help grow the game. I think it would help bring more fans involved and we get a lot of people more exposure into more of the world of football. I think that's so important. I think you need that. You need to help it to grow the game.
I don't hate it. I used to feel differently about this, but I think there's more opportunity than negative aspects of this. I do hope that the foreign leagues who are thinking about doing this are intelligent and create some not rules, maybe some regulations about it. Like, I don't want to see small clubs consistently sell like their game against Barcelona or their game against Milan to come play in the U.S. and their home fans in their city don't get to see that game every single year. I hope they put some limitations on it. And if they're going to do it, it's almost like the NFL where you do it a certain number of times over a certain period of time. Like, you're not constantly giving up your biggest game to play it in another country. That's the only thing that I hope they think about when they do this, so the home fans don't get screwed in the end of all this.
Yeah, like all right. Having like NFL go to Europe.
Yeah, yeah, you can rotate it around and make it work to where only occasionally you're going to miss a game that you would have had at home otherwise.
Yeah.
All right, the 3-4-3, we end it with three things that make us smile about the game. Number one, we were up in Dalton, as I mentioned, for the Dalton-Vestavia Hills game. But before that, we got to see another GA100 mini pitch open up at the Matt Gaston Community Center. We got to talk to Noah Cobb. Luke Brennan was there as well. Very cool to see Atlanta United continuing to invest in these communities and build fields so kids have more places to play for free.
It's important. I think, you know, the pay-to-play model, I feel like, has gotten to a point where it's a little extreme. And I think to have an area where kids can just go and they can enjoy the game and they can love it, I think that's so important.
The result in Charlotte wasn't what we were hoping it would be when we made the trip, but seeing so many Atlanta United fans on the road, that's my number two in things that make me smile. You know, there were a ton of fans in the building all over uptown Charlotte wearing red, black, and gold. It's very cool to see. I think that culture of, yeah, I'm going to make that trip. Of course I'm going to make that trip to support my club. It's very cool to see that take hold.
Yeah, me and Sofia Cupertino were at the tailgate for a little bit and chatted with a couple of them. And then, you know, while we all were chatting, having a good time, we just saw the team walk by. So, you know, it was awesome to get to see them just get rowdy, get excited for the game, and just to see how many fans traveled, you know. And even, you know, even though the result wasn't what we wanted, we got a lot of 17s and we showed up.
The third thing that makes us smile is a very busy weekend of Atlanta United soccer coming up. It starts Friday, Atlanta United 2 in action in Kennesaw against Red Bulls 2. You can listen to it on soccerdownhere.net. You can come watch it at Fifth Third Stadium. Madison and I will be on the call for that. And then Saturday, first team action at the Benz, Atlanta United and the Red Bulls. Pre-game coverage will start at 6:30. Game will kick off at 7:40. It'll be Abe and Maddie on pregame, Mike and I on the game. And then Sunday continues with one of our favorite things that happens every year, the Unified Teams signing day. Maddie and I will be emceeing that. And that's such a cool, rewarding element of this club. Another team in the club that we're always really happy to be involved with.
I love it. It was one of the first things that I really did with the club last season was get to call the Unified game. And it was a ton of fun. I mean, it's just, it's another way to branch out and, you know, really show what Atlanta United is and show who this club is. And you're adding another team. It's more soccer. It's more soccer and, you know, 3 days of soccer. Hey, that's fine with me. I love it.
Well, get ready for it because it's going to be a busy weekend. Thank you so much for spending some time with both of us tonight on AST. Don't forget, we'll be back on the air Saturday night starting at 6:30 with pregame coverage of Atlanta United and the New York Red Bulls. Y'all have a good rest of the evening. Adios, everybody.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.